Don't you just hate it when you miss something or someone? Don't you hate it when you miss that phone call that you've been waiting for? Don't you hate it when you miss that package, particularly at this time of year, that you were expecting on your doorstep and it hasn't arrived yet? Or maybe you were working and had to miss one of your child's events at school, and so you sort of missed out on that one piece. Maybe you've misplaced something, and in misplacing it, you miss it. A long time ago, some of my closest friends and myself, we decided that we were going to meet together at a summer camp reunion. We'd all worked at this camp, and they were having a reunion, so we thought it would be a good time for us to all get together. And we had decided that we were going to meet at 8 o'clock and then go out to dinner and just sort of hang out afterwards. It was on a Friday, and we all know what Friday's like at the end of a long week. But I was still excited about being able to go and sort of meet with my friends. The camp is about an hour and a half away from my house. So I arrived at the camp at 8 o'clock, and none of my friends were there. And I walked in and I talked to several of the people that were there and I said, have you seen so-and-so and so-and-so? No, none of them had seen any of my friends. Well, that was a bit unusual because we're all Presbyterians. We do things decently in order. So them not showing up was a little bit of a mystery to me. I waited a little bit. I waited about 35 minutes or so. And I said, well, I knew that they had some friends in the area. So I went to their friends' houses. They weren't at their friends' houses. They hadn't even talked to their friends. I went back to the camp. They weren't there. I knew that they knew some of the watering holes in the area, so I just stuck my head in to some of those watering holes just to see if they were there. No, they weren't there. I went back to the camp. They still weren't there. Finally, at 10:30, 2.5 hours later, I gave up, and I went home. I wasn't particularly thrilled that somehow we'd missed each other. Either that or we'd miscommunicated, but we'd missed each other. The Apostle John says that about Jesus, a person that a lot of people missed, that he came into the world and the people didn't recognize him. They didn't understand who he was. Even those that were closest to him weren't available to him. I don't know about you, but that's one to me one of the great mysteries of that time. How do you miss somebody that you have been waiting for and preparing for hundreds and hundreds of years? How is that possible to miss the Messiah when you've been waiting for them? And yet, when I fast forward into today's world and I look around at what Christmas has become in our generation, it's not terribly hard for me to understand how they might have been able to miss the Messiah in the midst of all the distractions and the busyness and everything that comes on. How do we miss Jesus? I want to suggest a couple of ways. The first one is obvious, and that is that we are so busy, so preoccupied, our hard drives are completely full, that we miss the Messiah in the middle of Christmas. It's not so much that busyness is a sin. The problem comes is that those that we love the most are also the ones that suffer the most. Because so often we're so busy doing the things for Christmas. We're busy making plans. We're busy making menus. We're busy, you know, sending cards or buying presents or going to one party or another party, that the people that we're really supposed to be spending time with don't get much of our time. The same thing happens with our relationship with Jesus Christ. That we are so busy doing maybe things for Jesus that we forget to spend much time with Jesus. Did you miss Jesus when we lit the Advent candle or sung the hymn or prayed? Did you miss him the other day when you were checking out and had that conversation with the clerk? Did you miss him because you were so busy trying to get the Christmas cards in the mail or buying that Christmas present that you forgot to spend some time alone with him? Chuck Swindoll tells a story about years ago. He was rushing around at the day before Christmas doing some last-minute things, and he's in his car, and he gets in this long line of cars, and, of course, At the very front of that long line is somebody who's going under the speed limit. Now, most of us don't like that person anyway, but at Christmas it's sort of intensified. And so with each mile that they're sort of plodding along, he gets more and more frustrated. Finally, as the cars in front of him sort of peel off and go their own separate directions, he is right behind the slowpoke, and he pulls up on their bumper, close enough to read the bumper sticker that says, "I break for Christmas." You do that? We can miss Christ not only because we are busy, but secondly, we can also miss Christ because we sometimes have this tendency to make the substitutes for the real thing. Let me put that a different way. Sometimes we are so busy doing that we're not really busy being. There's something that's sort of unique about the Christian faith, and that is this, that just because you come to church doesn't mean that you're necessarily coming to God. That doesn't mean that your being here is a bad thing. It's a good thing. But there's a big difference between coming to church and opening your hearts up to God. As a matter of fact, if you read the Old Testament, it's one of God's pet peeves. That here are the people of Israel, they're in church or they're in their temple and they're worshiping and they're giving their sacrifices and they're singing their songs and they're making their prayers and they're giving their tithes and their offerings and they're listening to God's word, and yet their hearts are still far away from God. And God sits in his heaven and he says, "That's all nice, well and good, but he says it's not really what I want. What I want is a relationship." Because God isn't confused and he's not deceived by where we are and what we are doing. He is interested in our relationship with him. Mother Teresa said this. She said, "Pray that while I am ministering to the poor, I don't lose my grip on Jesus Christ." Most of us would probably think if you're ministering to the poor, you probably have a good grip on Jesus Christ. But the difference is that Mother Teresa understood that coming to church is not the same as coming to God. That ministering in Jesus' name is not the same necessarily as having a personal relationship with God. She understood that you can still minister to the poor and have a heart that is still distant from God. There's so many ways to substitute for the real thing during the Christmas season. Jesus comes to those people who are the closest to him, people that should have recognized who he was. And you know what? They were too busy. These were the same people that spent time in worship, in the temple, serving God, and yet for a variety of reasons, they missed him. It might have been because of their expectations. It might have been because of their traditions. It might have been because of their responsibilities. It might have been because he didn't quite fit the politically correct ideology of the day. The great danger for church people is we can make that same mistake. We can be this far away from Jesus, and yet our hearts can still be a mile away from him. How can we miss him? Well, because we're too busy. Because we tend to offer substitutes sometimes for the real thing, which is the relationship, which is so important. Do we do it maliciously? Probably not. How do we get beyond that? I want to offer you a question. A question which is sort of the starting point for how you can correct it if you've missed Jesus. That question is a real simple one. It's, how much do you love God? How much do you love God? Because we miss the most what we love the most. If you're with a child, with your child in the mall or at the grocery store, and you miss that child for 1 minute, you're in a panic. But how many of you miss Jesus if you don't communicate with him for a day or for a week or for a month? We miss the most what we love the most. We also miss the most what we value the most. And so if we go through a day or a week or a month and we seem like we're not really missing Jesus in our life, and if by our words and our actions and our attitudes and our motivations we seem to be drifting further and further away from Jesus Christ, then maybe we need to stop and have literally a come to Jesus meeting with ourselves and with God. We need to rethink what is important and what is valuable to us. We miss the most what we love the most. We miss the most what we value the most. We miss the most what we think we need. My family, particularly the boys growing up, knew that I could be a little bit neurotic about my pen. Now, I want you to know that everything else is normal about me, but for some reason, I value my pen. Now, this pen was given to me by a true believer. It's a Steeler pen given to me by a true believer in this congregation. Mel gave this to me, Mel Osterritter. But typically, when I buy pens, they're not expensive. They're cheap. But I tend to keep the same pen for years and years. And so, when I put my pen down, I know where I put it. I know when it rises up, so to speak. And I know that God punishes anybody who picks this pen up and doesn't put it back where it belongs. And if it's misplaced or it goes missing, I get annoyed. Now, I don't know why I'm wired like that. Some people say I need therapy, but I'm not going to pay my wife to do that for me. But here's the point. This pen, in a really insignificant way, I think, is something I need. And if something that is as insignificant as a pen, I can miss that, how much more should I miss my relationship with something that is priceless, and that is Jesus Christ? Jesus comes into the world, and the world doesn't recognize him. He came to those who should have known him, and yet they didn't accept him either. And in today's world, the same kind of thing happens. He comes today, and for many people, they're just too busy, too distracted. And some of the substitutes that are supposed to focus and our attention on Jesus, the lighting of candles, the Christmas tree, the lights, the cards, the presents, all of those things around Christmas are designed to focus our attention on Jesus. Oftentimes they end up as distractions and substitutions. We end up missing the Messiah in the course of Christmas. Did you ever wonder why Jesus said at the Last Supper, as he's breaking the bread and offering the cup, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me"? Did he really think the disciples would ever forget the fact that he had died for them? But apparently there must have been something that he knew that we would forget in our daily lives. Why else would he tell us and remind us to do this? Well, so far I've just told you sort of one half of the story. I've sort of talked about our perspective and how we can miss Jesus. With the time that's left, I just want to tell you a story about sort of the other side of the story, the other half of this picture. I'm going to tell you a story. It's one that Steve Brown tells. Steve Brown was for a long time a pastor down in Key Biscayne in Florida. And it was a young woman he knew. She was adopted as an infant, and she was raised in a Christian family, and she came to faith early in life. And this Christian family provided for all of her wants and all of her needs. But she always had inside of her a desire to meet her biological mother. And so when her adopted parents passed away, she went on a search to find her biological mother. She was successful. Her mother lived in Chicago. And so this woman prayed and thought long and hard about whether or not to make this phone call. She didn't want to disturb or ruin anybody's life, but she really wanted to connect with her biological mother. Several times she picked up the phone and she made that call only to hang up because she was afraid. Finally, she had enough courage to go ahead and make that phone call. And when the woman answered on the other end of the line, she said, "Hello." She says, "You don't know me. But I want to ask you a question. I want to know if July 2nd, 1946 means anything to you at all. And there was a gasp on the other end of the line. And the woman said, "Oh my gosh." She says, "It means absolutely everything to me." She said, "There hasn't been a day since that day that I haven't thought about what happened and about you." The mother and the daughter and the stepbrother got together. And the daughter was able to lead her mother and her stepbrother to Christ. And they reconnected and they became a family. You know, you might not miss Jesus Christ very much in your daily life. You might be at that point where you're sort of maybe on autopilot. But one of the messages of Christmas is this, that there isn't a day, there isn't a moment when your Heavenly Father doesn't miss you and isn't waiting for you to connect with Him. This Christmas, don't miss the Messiah because you're so busy. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank You that You came in order to give us life and life abundantly. We would ask that in these days ahead that You make Your presence real to us. We ask that You would help us to be able to connect with You. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.